The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. Text line. You know that. Twitch. You know that. Check it all out. Missed the first hour. AJ's back and getting caught up on all the injustices. A32 says, I'll be the texter that applies my name to my number. The reason racism still exists is because so many people of all ethnicities have chosen to pretend it hasn't for so long. We as Americans pretended terrorism didn't exist forever until 9/11 happened. And since then, we've directly addressed it, and we do every day. Why can't we do the same for racism? Cleveland from Cincinnati.
Cleveland from Cincinnati?
Cleveland from Cincinnati.
I mean, that's a good point. Yeah. There are a lot of people who like to pretend. It's preferable. It's a lot easier. Life's a lot easier when you pretend like things like the ugly things don't exist. When you pretend that poverty doesn't exist. When you pretend that racism doesn't exist. Just because it doesn't exist in your bubble, it doesn't exist. It does make things a lot more comfortable. It's true. It's true. Because the truth of it is, Fred, you and I live in that bubble.
Yeah, absolutely. I freely admit that.
And it's
I mentioned this in the first hour, but it really hit home to me when I'm sitting there on a Saturday doing all the same crap I usually do, sitting at the bar outside with my friends, you know, drinking like crazy and playing poker on my phone while the world's burning less than a half mile away, and I'm not doing a damn thing. I'm just trying to live my life like normal. That's wrong, and I admit it's wrong. You weren't here for it, but there was. I went to one of the gas stations nearby because I needed to pick up some stuff. And when I pulled in, turns out that I didn't notice, but there was a bunch of cop cars off in the corner and a bunch of people running around. And turns out that's the, I don't know if you saw the video, but somebody in an SUV had actually hit a cop in the parking lot. And my first thought was, okay, just get the hell out of here and go to the next place, which I did. And in retrospect, man, I should have stopped and seen if I could have helped. I'm sure they would have said, get the hell out of here. But, you know, that's the thing. For me, I got to start doing more. I need to start being more involved, and I need to stop living in my bubble and acting like, oh, it's so peaceful down here in my little corner of downtown. Nothing's going on. I mean, yeah. And the other night after the big protest at Discovery Green, I was sitting out on the balcony. A bunch of people were coming back down the street from the protests. I guess it was a march. It wasn't really a protest. And I mean, everybody would stop and talk about it and how great it was that people came together. And then I see on Twitter somebody's tweeting out some video of tear gas that's not even from Houston. It's like, what the hell, people? I mean,
and you know what? I'll be honest, and I'm so glad that I don't have Facebook anymore, because my aunt, we were out on the river. She was like, "Oh my God, did you see what happened in Dallas?" And I said, "Oh, what? The protests?" She's like, "No, worse. A bunch of police officers were shot by a sniper." And I said, "In Dallas?" She's like, "Yeah." I said, "Was that story from 2016? That sounds very yeah, exactly. That sounds very familiar to me." And she was like, "Oh, I saw it today." Okay. And I said, "You need to go back and find it." And then she looks at it. She's like, "You're right. It happened in 2016. But she's an old lady.
Right.
So it's like, for her, it's like it hits her brain. It's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, look what's happened. It just creates more fear and panic. It's crazy how this works.
A couple things.
I'm for that, by the way.
What?
Like when Trump tweets something that might not be totally accurate, like having a fact check thing, I wish all social media had that exact feature. Like if you say something that's blatantly untrue, there's like a little, this might be BS. Look into it. Absolutely, especially these blue checkmark folks, because if you tweet something from a blue checkmark account, people just assume it's gospel. Like this is he's got a blue check. He's got a blue check. He's not allowed to lie.
Mm-hmm. Couple things from the text line, and we get some more calls in. Talk about 415 about Drew Brees. It says, but Drew needs to use his opinion to help the undeserved overcome and experience freedom, justice, and equality. That's your opinion. That's your opinion. You want him to do your opinion.
Do I wish Drew Brees would use his platform differently? Sure.
Yeah.
But Drew Brees has done a lot of good stuff. Like, people forget all of a sudden, and everybody wants him burned at the stake now.
Well, and that's the next part. Somebody else says, if people really wanted change, they'd be trying to educate Drew Brees and others and not condemn them.
Yes.
And that's fair.
And honestly, and I've said this for a long time about politics. If you're mad at someone about their politics, if you throw it in their face that they voted for this guy and it's not working out the way that, or it's, if you're, I told you so, that almost never makes people want to change their mind. Almost never does someone go, you know what? I was totally wrong on that. I really missed the boat. No, it's basic human instinct to dig your heels in and try not to be wrong or hope that it turns around. It's like investing in a bad stock. You can either dump it when it's like a quarter of it of what it was when you bought it and get out, or you can just cross your fingers and pray really hard that things turn around. Like, rarely does saying, dude, that was a really stupid move, does that change someone's mind or you get them to do something differently? That's not how it works. If you crap on people for the way they vote or the way they think, that's not the way to change them. You got to actually talk to people. Like, and I'm for it, man. I'm for people who are like, hey, this is my problem, or this is why I believe this way. This is why I've been taught my whole life that this is the way race works. I'll have that conversation with you. I really will. And it's uncomfortable for me too, because I don't totally understand it. But I also know me telling you you're garbage because you're racist isn't going to make you not be racist. Now, if you're racist and you don't have any interest in changing, I'm okay with that too. I just I don't want you in my life. That's all I'm saying. Like, when I said tell me and I'll unfollow you, but if you want to actually like get to the bottom of why you feel this way about people who don't look like you and why it bothers you so much, I'll gladly have that discussion. Even though it's not an easy conversation to have for anyone,
I would like to learn. Frankly, I'd like to learn what makes that happen. And it different thing, but just talking about the mask, and I've been asking for somebody to give me a good reason not to wear one. Well, finally, somebody did yesterday, and you know what? Consider me educated on it. And I think that's what we need to be doing more of. We need to be having conversations with each other. And can we stop with the? We really need to stop with the whole, all cops are this, all white people are this, all black people are this, and look at each other as individuals. And if I say, hey, you know what, most of the cops that I know, high percentage, are good people that would never do this, that doesn't mean I'm in any way condoning what this guy did. To me, he quit being a cop when he became a murderer. And you know, it's okay to have an opinion about both. It's okay to have that discussion. And, you know, I'm more than willing to discuss it. And I mentioned this the other day, too. It's like we always have this thing about never talk religion or politics at the bar. I'm okay to have religious conversations if people actually want to talk about, you know, what their beliefs are and why. I'm happy to have those conversations. Not on air, because that'll bore the crap out of everybody.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah, but if we're out and about, I'm happy to have those conversations, because there is a commonality in all of them. That whether you realize it or not, and it's the same thing with this, we've got some common things that we can, if we settle on those first, then we can debate the other stuff.
Let's talk to Jay real quick, and we're going to get to all you other guys on the other side, but what's up, Jay? Hey, Jay, you got to turn your radio down, buddy.
I'm sorry.
Okay, go for it.
What's up, AJ and Freya? Hey, I listen to y'all all the time. I just got one quick question. I am a black man. I really don't like what's going on. I know it's been going on for years, but my question is, how do you call the police on the police? I will hang up. Thank y'all. Y'all have a good day. Yeah. And enjoy y'all's show.
And honestly, and I know everyone thinks it's crazy that, and we live in a society now where people always have their phones out and they're always videoing every interaction. But kind of thank God they do, right? Because how many times do you think this happens and there isn't video? It happens. And to me, the whole the body cam, everybody wears body cam things. That should be across, not just like every state in the country. That should be every police force in the world. And if your body cam, quote unquote, malfunctions, sorry, bro, you're torched. Like that's because it's easy to have that excuse. Oh,
yeah. Oh, I forgot to turn it on.
I forgot.
How many times have we seen that?
Sorry, man.
And
you didn't forget to pin your badge on. You didn't forget to carry your gun.
Yeah. You ask how you police the police. And I said this the other day. At some point, if you're watching this and you know somebody else already recording it, then call 911 on those guys.
Yeah.
Say something to those guys. Do something. About, oh, well, if you touch a police officer, it's a felony. Well, maybe you need to risk something sometime to save somebody's life. Somebody could have done something. And I know everybody's scared, but there are people who are heroes. There are people who will step up in that moment. And maybe we need more of them.
That's I'm getting a, how come you haven't mentioned the looting? Guess what? This may come as a shock. I'm against looting too. How about that? How's that for a mind F? I don't like racism or bad cops. I also don't like looting
or
vandalizing. But I also do understand that there's a boiling point for everything. And eventually it tips over. Eventually it overblows. And I'm not, it's a lot easier to say, why are you responding this way to this mistreatment? Which I don't agree with it. I don't agree with looting.
No.
But it's also, if that's the question you're asking, instead of why is this mistreatment happening, then that's not the way to get to a root of a problem.
It's okay to condemn both, guys. It really is.
Yeah.
And some of the looting, too, is you've got these groups trying to co-opt everything create stuff. And it's those people are the worst. A32 says the left would be bleeped if there was a fact check deal. Hey, I got news for you.
They're all a bunch of liars.
They're left and the right. If you're defining someone as left or right and they would be liars, guess what? That's all of you. That's all of you. Well, I'll give you a fact. And you know what? This one, there won't be a little fact check on because it's proven. It's a fact that you can save money with Lightstream. You can pay off your credit card balances and start saving today. You can get a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream and save thousands in interest. How about this? You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. And I don't know what your credit card interest rate is, probably over 19%. That's the average rate. Some of them are a lot higher. The rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. There's no fees. The application's quick and easy and 100% online. You even get your money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information. Why we laugh it up, I'm wise enough.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Who knew you'd be hated for being who you are? And be a big target for all the insecure. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. We got a couple more calls in here. Somebody says, I love how honest and open-minded this station is. It's bleeping refreshing to hear. Just wanted to thank you, dudes. Yeah, well, that's one, and then there's 100 that say we're stupid. So, just doing the best we can, fellas. And
Lamont, I thought he was, you know, busting my balls here, but he tweeted me something by apologizing for white guilt and white privilege. You're basically admitting you're a racist. Food for thought. And I said, I'm not apologizing for it because I don't control it, but I do know that it exists. And if that makes me a racist, I guess you got me. But he said, while you were away, there were videos of white people kneeling and apologizing to blacks for their privilege. I mean, honestly, that me apologizing for white privilege, like something that I have no control over, That doesn't make anything better. That doesn't, I mean.
But how about recognizing it? You know, recognizing it certainly can help make things better. And
that would be like me apologizing for slavery. Like, I could do it. Is it empty? Absolutely, it's empty. Like, do I think slavery was abhorrent and just terrible? Of course. But I can't really apologize for it. I had nothing to do with it. Like, but do I admit that it exists and it was wrong? Yes. Do I admit that white privilege and white guilt exist? Yes. But is it fair for me to apologize for the system? I don't know. I mean, I guess if it makes you feel better, I will. But I don't think that's going to make anything better.
The origin of Hoffman as the last name is German.
Yeah.
Should you apologize for the Holocaust?
Yeah,
you're responsible.
God, you're so horrible.
Despite the fact my grandfather fought Nazis, I should still apologize, I guess.
You know what, though? It's funny to me that you get comments like that. Well, it's white guilt. It's white guilt. Well, you know what? About having some guilt about something is a bad thing. I mean, I can't control it. I didn't create it. I've sat here and said, this is a great country for me. But, you know, maybe, just maybe, by recognizing some other opinions, maybe I can make a difference. And if that's, I guess if that's a problem, okay. We're not friends.
Let's talk to See Brandon. You. Hello, Brandon.
Okay, hello?
Hello.
All right. Hey, how you doing, guys? I just wanted to call and kind of clear up the Drew Brees Colin Kaepernick thing. And just give me a minute, and I just want to explain to people why black people are upset with Drew Brees. I'm black, and I'm from West Virginia, but I live in Houston right now. And what people forget is that first game, Colin Kaepernick didn't kneel. He sat down.
Yeah.
And he sat down because he wanted to do They showed the injustice and the killings that were happening to black people. Then he consulted with veterans who told him that seemed a little disrespectful. Take a knee, and that's fine. That's not disrespectful.
Including Nate Boyer.
So when he took the knee, that was, you know, that was by the suggestion from the veterans. Then what happened is President Trump took that message away and made it about the American flag and said that he was disrespecting the flag, and then everybody took that and ran with it, and then him kneeling got completely lost in that. And that's all I'm going to touch on Colin Kaepernick kneeling. Now, the reason why black people are upset with Drew Brees is no one is expecting Drew Brees to take a knee. No one's expecting Drew Brees to be the voice of black people. Drew Brees did a lot for the community, especially during Hurricane Katrina. He lives in New Orleans. That's one of the blackest places in the country. Why people are upset is because all of the stuff that he did during Hurricane Katrina, down there with the teammates, being in New Orleans, talking to people, knowing people, understanding people, is that 4 years ago he said, I won't kneel to disrespect the flag. And then you've been with all of these black teammates, all of the stuff that's happened in the media, and then there's like nothing clicked to him, that none of it sunk in, that this was never about the flag. This was never about disrespecting veterans. He took the knee because it was to represent the injustice for black people. So it's like for Drew Brees to do all of that stuff and connect with all these people and go and do all of that, that it still didn't click that, hey, this isn't about disrespecting the flag. And then so on the flip side, people are like, well, if he understood that by now and he still doesn't care, then maybe Drew Brees was putting on the face and that he's not really caring about his teammates, the ones he calls brother on the field in the locker room, and that was for show, so he understands what the kneeling was about, but now he doesn't care. So that's why black people are upset, not because of his opinion. If he had an opinion and he, you know, said, hey, I don't want to take a knee, that's fine, but people are upset because the message should be clear to him by now that it's not about the flag. It was always and still is about the injustice that's happening right now.
No,
but
I get
don't want
that.
To take no more time. I wanted to clear that up, that maybe people listening could understand that, because that message is the main thing that got lost. The kneeling was never about the flag. It was just on a public stage to represent the injustice that was done to black people.
Well, and this is what people don't get about protest. And I see the memes were running around like crazy about you know, they want us to protest peacefully, and then they say, oh, not like that. No, not like that. This is the tricky little dirty little secret about protesting. Protesting is supposed to make people feel uncomfortable. If Colin Kaepernick took a knee, you know, during the commercial break, which, by the way, before Colin Kaepernick started taking a knee during the national anthem didn't get played on television unless it's the Super Bowl. Now, when Colin Kaepernick started, because they wanted more attention to it, they started, and which honestly probably helped Colin Kaepernick's cause. They were it shined a light on it. But if by doing it during the national anthem, it got a lot more attention than it would have gotten had he taken a knee for 2 minutes by himself in the locker room. If you protest in front of no one, it doesn't help your cause. It just doesn't. You have to make a stand where people can see it and people will be uncomfortable with it. That's what protest is. It's not meant to make everybody feel good. And he knew there were going to be people, and there's still to this day people who think that it has something to do with the song or the flag. It's not. But people are still uncomfortable with that. I get it, but that's why people protest. It's meant to be uncomfortable. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I don't want to relive the whole thing because it was obvious that that's not what the protest was about, but that's what it turned into, and there was a lot of reasons for that. But the one thing I would take issue with is that you guys sure started making a lot of suppositions about Drew Brees based on this. It's like, well, maybe all this was phony. Maybe all this was this. Yeah, again, it was dumb. It was tone deaf. And right now, everybody's way too emotional. He shouldn't have said a damn thing. And yes, did he look stupid? Yeah, does that suddenly erase all the other stuff he did? Oh, because he did this one thing? I don't think it does. But that's me.
Timmy. Hello, Tim.
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 Yeah, that's me.
Sports.
Yo, sports. Oh, man, this is awesome to finally talk to you guys. Never called in. I feel like y'all are some buddies that get me through traffic every day.
Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, sir. I don't know. I'm a white dude from a mixed racially family, and I don't know, been raised just to not maybe I'm insensitive to the black community because I feel that it is part of my community, but it's the choices that we make that lead us down to where we are now. To say that we're, I don't know. It's rough for me, man. Maybe I just can't condone lifting up this guy, George Floyd. He was not a good human being. The cop deserves to rot in prison for murdering him. Don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of great black people in this country that we should hold up as American heroes and not this mess head and
yeah, sorry, we got to cut you off.
Well, I mean, listen, again, it goes back to everybody's entitled to their opinion. I don't think I've never once tried to say George Floyd was some kind of perfect guy. Do I think that George Floyd should have been murdered for, you know, trying to pass off a fake $20 bill? I mean,
yeah.
And by the way, I mean, truthfully, it's always easy to do that after someone, and we do this to everybody who gets murdered. We always look up like, oh, well, what's he done in his past? Nobody's perfect. Trust me. If I got murdered today, tomorrow, but they go pull up all my arrest record, guess what? I ain't that great of a guy either. And if you are, great, good for you. Raise your hand, be proud. But I guarantee every one of us, it's easy to, you know, cast the first stone is what I'm saying. Everybody's got some stuff. It doesn't mean it should be, you know, if George Floyd was shooting at cops, different conversation. He wasn't.
Plus, even with my love for Law and Order, it would be so hard to find whoever did it because you made so many enemies. It would take forever.
Yeah.
But
don't have time to find my murderer.
To his point, I get all that. But again, I think it's deflecting a little. We need to stay on the issue here. And nobody deserved that treatment, no matter what. And I don't know that I think people are holding up the example of what happened is what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's take a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Got a 12-car garage and you only got 6 cars.
I ain't with the cake. ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Mott tweeted us, said there's more. White people kneel and ask forgiveness from the black community in Third Ward. I'm not going to kneel or ask forgiveness. I'm more than happy to have conversations about what I can do with individuals. But yeah, it's okay. Whatever works for you.
I'm getting like somebody here's one guy on Twitter says, just want to thank you for sharing your thoughts today. Never been a time where I've agreed with everything you've said, but today that happened. Absolutely nailed it on white privilege, living in a bubble and getting to know black people. And another guy, a couple seconds before that says, sounds like you're a racist towards white people. And I was hesitant to bring this up because I get called a racist against white people all the time. And I was nervous to say this out loud, but I'm going to say it now. How can I be racist when I have white friends? I mean, obviously that's not true because
do you really have white friends?
Cause I don't think you do. White friend. Oh. He's been over at my house.
Okay.
Yeah. This can't be true. If you have a white friend, how can you possibly be racist? Let's talk to Davey. Hello, Davey.
Hello.
Hey, sports.
Hey, you guys. Yeah, sports to you too. This is Davey again. As always, I love you guys' show, and I agree with a high percentage of your views. But I think that this whole situation of white privilege does actually exist. And, you know, it bothers me so much that the people who have the power in this country are doing little to nothing to help the people who don't. Now, I personally grew up in a black neighborhood. I was one of 9 white people in an 800 student campus. I had a lot of friends and a lot of enemies, but I got to see their perspective firsthand as a very young man. And what I saw, that was one of the most atrocious, horrific ways to treat another human being. And I am for one, absolutely sick of it. And, you know, it should matter to us, to all of us as human beings, how other human beings are treated, regardless of skin color. But I'm seeing more and more and more of people I grew up with. Like I had a friend, I'm not going to mention his name, but he was my best friend and he was a black guy and he was murdered by a bunch of white people at a concert. And I'll never get that guy back, you know? And I think that we need to focus maybe a little less on the idea of white privilege and maybe a little more on the idea of what white people can do to make a difference in this country. You know, as human beings, we're all supposed to be created equal and we should pick each other up whenever we can. And I'm disheartened and saddened by the situation, and I used to be a staunch Republican, and I'm just not anymore.
Let me cut you off there because we got to get a couple more calls in. I get what you're saying. I don't think all Republicans are racist, by the way. I really don't. I know a lot of Republicans that I don't think are racist. But I do think that that label is kind of thrown on them, which, you know, it's not completely unfair, but I don't like blanketing everyone in. What I did like about that caller, though, is he's got some unique experiences.
Right.
And what I tell everybody is imagine your outrage if George Floyd was your kid. And then think about how he died and what he got killed over, and how would it set with you if he was your kid or your nephew or your grandson or your brother? How would it set with you if that's the person you saw on that ground? That's his face. It's now your brother or your son. Do you feel differently about it? When you like, even going back to like Trayvon Martin, if Trayvon Martin is your son. Is it right? Do you feel any differently? If Tamir Rice is your son, do you feel differently about it? If, you know, you can go on and on and on. If Breonna Taylor is your daughter, do you feel differently about it? And I promise you, and I know it's very difficult to put yourself in that, but if you do, you'll start to see why now it's starting to feel like a pattern's built and why there's so much rage going on here.
And, of course, they had a bunch of texts saying, well, you need to talk about what a bad guy he was. No, you don't. You know why? Because by doing that, you're really trying to justify the guy's actions. And, yes, it's part of the story. He had a history. But those of you who are texting that in are doing it to defend the guy. And that, I'm sorry, there's just no defense for what happened. I'm sorry. You want to get these last two in?
Yeah. Let's talk to, what's that, Towel? Is that supposed to be Raul?
It's Paul.
Paul. Okay, Paul will work. Sorry. Go ahead.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love you guys, first of all. But, I mean, I think we need to start focusing on the the white privileged. And the truth is that if we really want to change the matter that's going on now, we have to stop the stereotype. I'm a Hispanic man who is 6'3", 270 pounds, and I fit the profile of other Hispanic men who do bad things. I work hard for a living, and I've been in a situation where I've been pulled over, dragged out of my car, handcuffed, because I fit the profile. If we continue to riot and do things that give the authorities the reason to say, hey, you know what? These guys don't want change. They're going to continue doing what they're doing. And so the cops come out with that mindset already, that they pull you over and your profile, this guy's going to be like this. I tell my kids every day, you want to change society? Get an education. You go out there and you do what's best for you and get an education. That's how you change things. Rioting, destroying property, all that stuff like that. That doesn't change anything. That just creates more issues. And it gives the police, whatever it is, more ambition to do what they do. Now, granted, you're right, we're not perfect. But we also need to break that chain, break that stereotype, and say, you know what? We're not those people. We're not what you want us to be. You know, we may have done that, you know. And the other thing is, you know, the cops say, hey, come here. But, you know, do what they ask. It could be very simple. But the moment you fight, their training says, take you down. And, yeah, some of it's excessive, and some of it's unnecessary, and it shouldn't happen that way. But I mean, I'm kind of on the fence by it because they get paid to risk their lives every day. And, you know, all we have to do is something as simple as follow the law. But I'm not going to let myself be stereotyped. I'm not going to let my kids be stereotyped. If we're going to fight, I'm not fighting for me anymore. I'm fighting for my future and my kids because I don't want them to see the same things or go through what I went through. I want to break the stereotype. So people who justify the looting and rioting because of, you know, the injustice, that's just completely wrong. That's the wrong mindset to have. And I'm going to hang up and listen to your comment.
All right. Yeah. I mean, and that's what we should all be kind of thinking about is, you know, what the world that we're going to put our children into. And, you know, I will say this. it does feel super awkward to have to tell your kids and like have conversations that, hey, everybody's the same. No one's like, because it seems like such a simple thing, but like you really have to beat it into kids' heads. So you know, so it doesn't leak into another generation, but you almost have to go overboard on it. All right, we're going to take a break from this conversation for a minute because we're going to have Ariel Helwani on the other side talking about the UFC card this weekend. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
No, we can't. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And this next guest, I know, A.J., you've been wanting to get on for a long time.
Yeah, and glad to have him on. I think we've had him on, but maybe it's been a long time.
It's been a while,
now.
Yeah.
And I think it's the first time we've had him on since he's worked at ESPN. But Ariel Helwani is our guest, sort of the superstar of MMA media. Ariel, how are you, my man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We cannot complain here, and I'll say this. The UFC was kind of out in front of this thing, this coronavirus thing, kind of trying to get things back on track. And we all laughed at him at first and said, maybe this is too crazy, it's too silly. But it seems like it's worked. And obviously they had a little hiccup today with the UFC 250 because they had a cornerman test positive. But talk about how they handled that and talk about, you know, what the fix is.
Well, you know, they've evolved a lot since this all started. You know, they had three events in early May, May 9, 13, 16, and they made some modifications. And of course, those three events were in Florida. The one on Saturday is in Las Vegas. The one last week was in Las Vegas. So you're dealing with different athletic commissions. And so the Nevada Athletic Commission is a lot more strict than the Florida Athletic Commission. So in Florida, they made the fighters only take one test before their fights. In Las Vegas, they're making them take two tests. And in between those tests, they're very strict about self-isolation, and they're very strict about, who can go where after you take a test and all that stuff, and social distancing and masks. I mean, it's just a lot more strict than in Florida. I can't stress that enough. So there's a situation now that's developing regarding a fighter on the card on Saturday named Ian Heinisch and a cornerman of his. News broke that one of his cornermen tested positive, and as a result, he was going to be removed from the card. But now they're saying they're going to test him again to make sure. So it's still up in the air as to whether or not he's on the card. But, you know, this is the new reality that we're living in right now with all these tests, and I'm sure it's something that the other major leagues, when they come back, are going to have to deal with as well.
Is it as simple as if Anthony Heinisch doesn't test positive and his cornerman does, could it be as simple as, hey, he's not going to corner me? Could it be that simple? And they find a different coach, and that's that.
No, because their feeling is that there's this 14-day incubation period where, all right, you know, someone that you came in contact with tested positive, and then let's say I test you today, and all of a sudden I become like a medical doctor, all the stuff that I knew nothing about. But you know, this is just the way it goes. So if I came in contact with you today, then all of a sudden, you know, I get tested today, it may not show up, but it will show up in 14 days that I had it. So this is how you want to try to stop the spread of the virus. If someone was in contact, you almost have to be removed. That's the line of thinking, but I think they're holding out hope that perhaps it was a false positive and that he'll be okay. So right now we're awaiting word on that.
One of the things we saw last week, and I guess we're seeing again here, is catchweight fights. Is that sort of a result of finding, you know, the right amount of people to fill out fight cards? Because obviously it's not a situation where everybody's on top of their training right now. Everybody's 100% ready to go. They're trying to fill these cards out. There's not always a 145 to fight a 145. We're seeing a lot more of these catch weights. Is that your guess as to why we're seeing that?
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously only so many fighters that you can choose from in America, right? Because you can't have fighters coming from overseas right now. That's why they're trying to start this fight island internationally, and that would hopefully start next month. That's their plan, at least as of now. So that's why you're seeing a lot of fighters coming back who fought in May. They had a fighter last week that was supposed to be on the card coming back on 2 weeks' notice. They have a fighter this weekend who's coming back on less than 4 weeks' notice. So they're trying to go back to the same guys, and you're seeing a lot of them who are getting booked for cards later on in June. They're doing their best, and the cards have been fun. But, come later in the summer, if they can't utilize the international fighters, it's going to be slim pickings out there.
Well, let's talk about the fights themselves. And Amanda Nunes against Felicia Spencer, sort of a grappler who's developed some sort of striking. It seems to me like she's still in way over her head against Amanda. Is this just sort of a and the 145 division for women is very small. There's just not a real contender now that Cyborg has been vanquished to Nunes's title, and they've got to give it to someone. Could you picture this being a competitive fight?
No, not at all. I actually think that Felicia Spencer is game. I think that she has a solid chance. I know she's a 4-1 underdog, but she's 9-1. Her lone loss in the UFC was actually her most impressive performance, if you ask me. She fought Chris Cyborg. She hunted her down. She didn't give up. She had incredible will and determination in that fight. And I was really impressed for someone as young as her, 4 years in the game at the time, going up against someone like Chris Cyborg like that. That was special stuff. So I think the fact that it's happening in an empty arena, I think the fact that it's happening, without the buzz and the hoopla of your typical title fight in Las Vegas, I think will actually benefit Felicia Spencer. And she's really good on the ground. And if we had to say that, Amanda Nunes has one Achilles heel, it would be her ground game. So I'm not sleeping on her at all.
The co-main, Rafael Assuncao against Cody Garbrandt. And Cody Garbrandt's a really weird story because Cody Garbrandt was he was the UFC champion 3 years ago, and now he's almost on his way to being non-relevant. I mean, he kind of got exposed by TJ Dillashaw badly two times in a row, and looked like Pedro Munhoz followed the blueprint and beat him kind of the same way. Is this a situation where Garbrandt loses? That's four in a row. He's almost not a serious threat in that division anymore.
It's definitely been a fall from grace, and I would suggest waiting to see how he loses, right? Because if he gets knocked out again, then I think it might be a little bit tough for him. But, if he loses a close decision or something like that, then I think, all right, Rafael Assuncao is a really tough guy, and he has a tendency to have tough fights, like grueling fights where you can't, put him away, and that tend to be, marathons, not sprints. But, yeah, I mean, who saw this coming? Because when he won the belt, we all thought, like, wow, this guy's one of the faces of the UFC, future star, had the look, had everything. And then, all of a sudden, as you mentioned, everything started to unravel for him. And he's had some time off. He switched camps, training with a new team now. I'm curious to see how he reinvents himself. Really important fight for him. And there's a nice focus on the 135-pound division here with that fight, the Aljamain Sterling-Corey Sandhagen fight, which I think is a number one contender fight, and then the Sean O'Malley-Eddie Wineland fight. I'm a big Sean O'Malley fan. I think he's really exciting. So I like when they, put a bunch of fights from the same weight class on the same card so you can get, a sense of how deep the division is.
I also think it's ironic that Cody Garbrandt switched camps after all the hubbub about him and Dillashaw and Dillashaw being a rat, yeah, and a snake and a traitor. You mentioned Sean O'Malley, who, people are getting to see for the first time in a while after the USADA suspension. This seems like, and Eddie Wineland's a tough dude, but probably not the kind of guy who at this point in his career is going to be the guy that solves that puzzle. Do you think this is kind of one last showcase fight for O'Malley before they throw him in there with someone who can really push him, if you will?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because he had the 2-year layoff because of the USADA suspension, and solid win over, solid guy who's bottom half of that division, Jose Quinones. Wineland's a former WEC 135-pound champion, which is the division that became the UFC bantamweight division. And, you get by him, and then, all right, there's a process here, and I don't think you want to push a guy like him too quickly. So I think that it's smart that they're pushing him along relatively slowly. You get one fight back after your 2-year layoff. Now you come back, 3 months later, get a good win there, and now we can start to talk. I think he's still 2 or 3 away from really being in that discussion, even though if you ask him, he would say he's ready right now. Someone like him, so special, so much fun to watch, such a great look. You want to be careful without, you know, you want to be careful with the way you book him, but also without pushing him too much. So I like what they're doing with him, and I think if he gets by Wineland, he's probably two away from really being in that title talk.
So kind of don't do what they did with Sage Northcutt is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't think he's Sage Northcutt, to be honest. But yes, they really rushed Sage, unfortunately. You know, they made him take these turnaround fights like on less than a month's notice, and he just wasn't smart. And then, of course, he was sick going into one fight, probably should have pulled out, probably felt a lot of pressure and gets choked out, and it wasn't the same after that. So he is, unfortunately, a good reminder that maybe when you got something good, it's okay to slowly but surely push him along and not ram him down everyone's throats.
So give the COVID UFC fan, someone who might not watch the UFC religiously but is watching because there's no other live sports, who's the name on this card that they need to be watching that is really going to show something this week?
I think that, well, Sean O'Malley I like very much. He's very exciting. He's very flashy. He's very fun. If you just like, he looks like, he's like a cartoon character out there. I think Nunes is arguably the greatest female fighter of all time. She's won 10 in a row. She's the champion at 135 and 145. She's just really, you know, a force to be reckoned with. And no one's won 10 in a row in women's MMA. And no one's defended those two titles. No one's been a champion in two different divisions, regardless of male or female, and has been able to defend those belts simultaneously. And that's what she's doing. So anytime you can watch arguably the best in the world, that's a treat. And then the Aljamain Sterling Corey Sandhagen fight, I think, is amazing. I think Corey Sandhagen is a future title contender. And I really do think that he's a guy that if he wins this fight, he should be fighting for the belt next. And Aljamain is supremely exciting as well. So that, to me, is the fight I'm looking forward to the most on this card, in addition to the other ones.
And I'd be remiss if we didn't ask you, what do you think the resolution is in the John Jones situation? When do you think it happens, and what do you think the final resolution is?
Oh, man. I hope it's Ngannou. I hope it's Jones Ngannou. I don't know if that will happen in the end, because it seems like they're really far apart. But I'm gonna stay positive, and I'm gonna say that they're gonna want some big fights by the end of the year, and they'll figure out a way to make this one happen.
All right, that's Ariel Helwani from ESPN. Appreciate you taking the time with us, man. Very cool to have you on, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yep, make sure you order that pay-per-view UFC 250. On pay-per-view, obviously, the only way you can get it is through ESPN Plus these days. So if you don't have ESPN Plus, I don't know why. You should have ESPN Plus. You get Hulu and Disney and all that stuff. Just get ESPN Plus. Stop being a cheap ass. So,
yeah, ESPN Plus it's worth it for not just to have access to the pay per views, but the free.
You get a lot of free fights on there too. Yeah,
and there's so much other good stuff on there. Believe it or not, maybe not right now, but once it's back, I know there's a lot of basketball. There's a lot of hockey. There's a lot of cool things. So, and you know, basketball, you could watch it there, or you could do it in your own.
Or you could do it in your yard. Hoop it up, baby. And I was telling you guys about the crummy goal out at the river where I was at, and my kid was complaining about it. He's spoiled by his Pro Dunk Hoops goal, man. Guys, this is the best, the absolute best. And I actually was hesitant to put a hoop up in my house, because I didn't know what the curb appeal would be like. You see a lot of you drive by a lot of houses with a rickety old goal in front of it, and it's not always the best look. And then I looked through the website, produnkhoops.com, and you see it actually increases the way your property looks. I mean, it's a beautifying feature, believe it or not, because it looks like it's a professional goal up outside your house. And it's got the annoying thing is, if you don't like the neighborhood kids over, then you maybe don't want this. But all the kids meet up at my house. That's what, you know, my kid's got he's got the best hoop. That's where they play. And not only does my 12-year-old love it, but my 8-year-old loves it too, because he can, with a turn of a handle, take it down from 10 feet all the way down to 5 feet. He plays at 8 feet. My big one plays at 10, but they can both have fun on this thing. Get your new hoops goal today. See it all. ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
We involved. I just put a Richard on the card. I ain't going playing ball, but I'll show you how to got to do.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.